Tonight's movie is brought to you by Cocaine Bear!
All the cocaine, twice the bear.
I'm excited for it.
Are you?
Yes.
Are you really?
For real.
Yeah, no, I'm 100%.
I know you are. I will not doubt either of you ever.
It's the only based on a real story that I actually was as awesome
the
as.
The only based on a real story of a cocaine bear.
Yeah. But the bear did a bunch of cocaine. Anyways.
Welcome back, movie fans. Pete here.
And Brian.
And Neil.
And we are three dads navigating the films of our youths. Utes. And we still have to do My Cousin Vinny. No, cat, do not jump on the table. Damn it. Anyways, we are watching some movies and answering some questions.
We're going to watch one movie.
What movie are we watching tonight? Oh, cat.
Well, we had said we were going to do The Abyss, but it turns out...
You can't get it anywhere.
It's fallen into a crevasse.
Oh, I see what you did.
And you can't...
A chasm?
A chasm, underwater, if you will, a trench, and we can't find it anywhere. So we had to pull an audible, and we racked our brains.
And like, what could we watch that would... Even just moderately compared to the beauty of The Abyss. And I think we found a gem.
What do three gentlemen do when they really want their 80s fix? They watch...
Jean-Claude Van Damme!
In...
Cyborg.
Yeah.
Cyborg.
Which, fun fact, he's not the cyborg. I thought he was the cyborg. Yeah, I don't remember this movie.
I don't remember this movie.
Well, he made about 45 movies in the 80s that all look kind of the same from the cover.
So I'm probably sure I've seen this movie.
Or we can guess what's going to happen. I bet he does a split kick.
I bet he does lots of them. The whole spinny split thing. And yeah. It's going to save the day. Save the cyborg with a split kick.
Yeah. If you've had one of those weeks, watch Cyborg. Because I know it's going to be good.
Wow. Like such confidence. Such bravado. Coming out of the gate.
Oh, man.
Well, what are our three questions that we're going to try to answer, Neil?
Oh, the three questions that we're going to answer are... Does Cyborg hold up?
We know.
Should Cyborg be rebooted, remade, rewatched?
Or sequeled.
Or sequeled.
We're going to pretend that it has three or four sequels right now that we're staring at.
Or and removed.
Or removed from the list, which it won't be. And finally, do we have our kids watch it as reward or inspiration?
Inspiration. That's a good euphemism.
Yes.
For how to be a better person.
How to be a better, yes.
I guess we can learn everything about life from this movie about a Jean-Claude Van Damme named Gibson Rickenbacker.
Rickenbacker, yeah.
Rickenbacker.
Rickenbacker.
Now, I always like these movies set in the 80s where they claim that it's way in the future. Do you think we're already living past where this movie takes place?
I bet it is.
Probably it's going to be like in the future.
The year 2006.
Yeah. All right, place your over-unders now.
I'm betting they're going to say this takes place in like a round number, like 2015.
I'm going to say it takes place in 2008.
Okay.
$1.
$1.
I'm going to be really disappointed because I feel like sometimes the... barren wasteland where we have to fight cyborgs and gang leaders for control of resources sounds a little more entertaining than the paper pushing I do.
What makes you say that, Brian?
I have very little interactions with cyborgs, knife throwing.
You know, it does make you feel like, you know, I sometimes feel like we were sold a false bill of goods here about what the future would hold for us when I was a kid. I really thought we would be in the Beyond Thunderdome, Cyborg, Mad Max world, living the dream, T2, you know, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah, I've always claimed that I want a holodeck from Star Trek in my future. I still don't have it, so the future is not now.
Well, though our Oculuses are getting up there.
The Oculi is close.
The Oculi. But it's, I like your singular use of that.
No holodeck.
No, it is not.
Because, I mean, I know that everybody here desperately wants to reenact Shakespeare's time. Or maybe see what it was like to really be in Jules Verne's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Oh, yeah, totally. Every day I dream of that.
And, so, one day soon.
And I won't be embarrassed to walk around in my holodeck in front of my family. But I am deeply embarrassed by Mr. Zuckerberg's monstrosity.
Fair.
Don't look at me!
Where's Dad? He's been in the holodeck.
Neil, do you
vacation.
Actually remember anything about this movie?
I remember that he is like this very reluctant hero, and they're begging him to help, and he's just kind of like, I don't really want to. This does not interest me. I don't care.
I don't really want to.
But somehow he sees like a narrow hallway, and all of a sudden he springs up that thing, and he's doing the splits and killing people, and he just can't help himself.
Well, I mean, that seems to be like every hero's journey.
And I say all of that after realizing this is not the movie he made with the Swedish gentleman from Rocky, Dolph Lundgren. Oh. I thought this was the movie.
You thought you were going to see Universal Soldier?
I did.
Oh. Yeah. So when you pitted this, like, oh, we should watch this, you were thinking Universal Soldier.
Well, yeah, I did.
Pitched.
But I'm still happy about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, this looks atrociously 80s sci-fi action.
I mean, you could have ended this sentence after atrocious.
He's holding, like, in the preview, he's holding, like, a minigun shaft thing.
I don't know, I thought it was some sort of, like, pipes from plumbing.
Oh, that, I mean...
Like a rail gun.
So either he's holding a gun or a really weird staff.
Well, the tag words for this movie are suspenseful, cerebral, and dark.
Cerebral?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody listening to this knows we have yet to watch an 80s movie that was cerebral.
I think what they mean by that is he's going to brain someone with a sword.
That's...
No, it's really going to just make you think. How the fuck did they make this movie?
Things that make you go,
Have we mentioned
that... Ooh, CNC Music Factory. Oh, dude, nice. Not even like their popular one.
I think that the answer to how this movie got made is cocaine, which is also how we got the movie Cocaine Bear.
This movie tonight is brought to you by Cocaine Bear.
I heard that this was brought to you by Cocaine Bear.
Did you
Bear.
Know that Cocaine Bear is a movie?
Did I just do a spoonerism? Yes, I did.
I, for one, am very excited about Cocaine Bear.
No, you would be.
It's amazing that, as you know, being the sponsors of the show, that they sent us not just the normal t-shirts and beer koozies, but they sent us actual cocaine.
Mounds of it.
Just so much.
They crashed a plane in Pete's backyard. It's just full of cocaine.
Just full of cocaine.
The bears will be here any minute.
I look forward to the sequel.
All 17 of them.
Well, I guess, is there anything left? I haven't seen, I know nothing except.
Yeah, no, don't you dare, Cat. I'm going to jump on the podcast.
If it turns out to have great music, it'll be a perfect movie.
I'm sensing it's going to have synth.
Yep. I hope so.
It better. It's made in 1986. Oh, it's got to have synth.
All right.
All right.
And it's only 87 minutes, and it's free on Amazon Prime.
Oh, it's even better. Let's
get cyborging.
Let's, I don't know, bump this line.
Let's get Rickenbackered.
Let's get Rickenbackered. Let's go get some ice cream. All right. We'll be back in 2 shakes of a spin kick from JCVD.
That's pretty fast. Brought to you by Cocaine Bear.
White lines going through my mind.
Fuck.
Well, yeah. We're back with the synth end credits still playing.
Yeah. That was a movie.
We just couldn't wait to start podcasting this.
Strike while the cyborg is hot.
I'm actually finding it distracting.
Oh, okay. Well, we have to end this.
It's so on brand.
Welcome back, guys. That was almost exactly what we ordered. Neil?
Oh, boy, Pete.
Neil?
Yeah?
Neil?
Yeah?
You did this.
Me? I supported it. Once it was in the world, I helped nurture it.
The hubris that you displayed at the beginning of this podcast to where we are now was right up there with Jean-Claude Van Damme flexing hard in the
factory. So amazing is I was constantly amazed during this movie. That I was still watching this movie.
It was 84 minutes.
That was wonderfully...
How would you describe your feeling right now? I kind of feel like I just spent 87 minutes reading Jaden Smith tweets. I'm sort of entertained and sort of disgusted by myself.
I feel like I just ate a 5-pound bag of gummy bears. I feel bad.
I feel like I
didn't have a bad time.
It seemed like a good idea.
I feel like I was forced to eat 5 pounds of gummy bears. Where, like, at first I'm like, okay, and then, well, like, no, around pound two, I'm no, like, I don't like, wanna.
It's like you got to the last third of the bag, and you felt like, well, I'm here.
Yeah.
I have to go through with it, because I have to know.
So it's like when you have an hour, you have 87 minutes to eat, like, an 8-pound burger with fries and a Coke.
Yeah. And I'm down to, like, the last 2/3 of the fries.
And you realize you do have the time to finish. You just don't really need it.
Gonna hate myself.
Hate yourself in the morning.
For about the next 4. I felt like it's my kids were home narrating their entire play world incessantly, nonstop, every action for, it felt like 6 hours.
Yeah, this was basically if your son or daughter grabbed G.I. Joe's, had a battle, and then retold you the story for 87 minutes.
No, they're trying to act it out. Like, it really felt like they were acting out what they were playing with their G.I. Joe's earlier, and they're trying to throw
Well, how about, like, good
Cocaine
luck with it.
Bear really got us a good one Thank on you. This one.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cocaine
this
Bear.
This movie was all the cocaine.
A good question is, 2-sentence synopsis. Because good luck with that. I can't even tell you what half of this was about.
Oh, I can... Yeah, this is an A to B.
Yeah, but this somehow...
I know. In a world, in the future, things are bad, and Jean-Claude Van Damme doesn't wear a shirt. Watch him walk and brood. And think, and walk, and kick, and run, and brood, and walk, and look longingly at sunsets, and turn away having sex in the apocalypse, and brooding, and walking, and turning, and fighting, and kicking, and walking, and yelling, and kicking, and solving, and then going away.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's a lot of walking and brooding,
and very little exposition.
All right.
Except every time that
Expositioning.
She was, and she was our exhibition. Exposition.
Yes, yeah, even you,
girl.
But. Even that wasn't... Oh. There wasn't even a whole lot of exposition. No. Also, for a movie named Cyborg, not a lot of cyborg.
No cyborg. No, she was... MIA.
Brian, do you want to take a shot at it?
Yeah, all right.
You could probably do better than I did.
No,
although
I mean...
It was ridiculously accurate.
Gibson Rickenbauer. Orville Redenbacher.
Fender Martin.
Is a slinger on a road to vengeance against Fender, a pirate who killed Gibson's pseudo-family. Despite several setbacks and crucifixion, Gibson eventually defeats Fender in a topless pectoral battle. I've never seen such posturing by two men who weren't about to do naughty things to each other.
It was honestly, there was one scene that was like 9 minutes of Dragon Ball Z staring at each other screaming.
A lot of screaming, a lot of guys screaming. I know what, everybody in this movie just screamed or sharpened knives.
Yeah.
Just like Paul did.
All right. Cyborg, let's see here. In a future where the world is covered in blight and sickness and trash and pirates, there's a cyborg with the cure inside her brain, but she thinks maybe Van Damme is actually the cure.
Isn't he, though?
That's a line from the movie. That is a line from the movie.
And the final shot is just the doctor that made her laughing like, "Oh, you ignorant slut!" And he grabs her and closes the door.
Yeah, we end. The movie ends with a shut door.
Well, let's take her apart now and get that information out of her. Well, that slinger's off doing other things. Yeah,
what's a slinger?
I don't know.
We know Jean-Claude Van Damme is one,
and that Haley wanted to be a slinger when she grew up,
and then
before she had to hold that, like that torture scene though, pretty traumatic.
Yeah, the bad guy was pretty bad.
He was, and the torture scene was bad. I think the biggest question I have is, like, the cyborg was sent out from Atlanta to New York, and when she got to New York, she had to get back to Atlanta to report to the scientist.
Or was he just like a cop? It was the same scientist, but they looked the same.
I think it was the exact same guy. No, it's the exact same
guy.
So, was it just a failed experiment that he laughed off? Like, this is just a big write-off
He sent the cyborg out, like, but she was supposed to gather information on the plague.
Was she? I didn't hear
Yeah,
that
she said, like, I have, because when they find her in the very beginning of the movie, she says, I have information that could be lead to the cure for the plague.
You have to get me back.
Have me get to Atlanta.
Okay.
And then Jean-Claude Van Damme's like, and then bad guy takes her and says, I'll go to Atlanta I'll have the cure and be a god. I love this world.
And she's like, yeah, I don't think so. I'm going to lead him down there and they're going
to
kill him.
If Jean-Claude Van Damme had done nothing, I feel like the cyborg would have like led this guy to his death and then end scene.
And he didn't even realize that Haley was his stepdaughter?
Oh, yeah. They never explained that one bit. It was like a big shocking reveal that... The young love interest of the bad guy is really the young girl who was part of the family that the guy killed, and she was forced to die.
And he buried his feelings for all these years, but now, because reasons, I care.
They were reawakened when he spent 4 days on the cross screaming with his pecs out.
Oh, yeah.
That allowed him to recover from his injuries super fast.
Yeah. He was almost reborn.
It's just nothing made any sense in this movie.
The movie was...
Not one choice.
So, Neil, as someone that had seen this movie before, do you think this movie... What's the question? The first question we usually ask?
Does it hold up? I mean, I remember thinking it was really sweet the first time I saw it.
You think...
It doesn't hold up in the same way.
This is honestly one of the most accurate movies for this podcast because this is the kind of movie that we thought was a cool fight scene. Like, even Navy SEALs in a weird way.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
we thought Navy SEALs was going to be cool.
Remember,
but we got
like,
fooled.
This is how bad it was for us to go to the movies and be entertained by what we thought was a cool genre. Because he knew how to fight, so... Watching him do the stupid elbow thing and go, ha!
Oh, the choreography was garbage.
But like, we're so spoiled now.
But it's not, even if the fight scenes were, you know, classic 80s schlock, the storyline is terrible.
So you don't want to see this movie rebooted?
What rebooted? We already said, like, it's like Johnny Mnemonic, which came out, like, a decade later.
We should watch next.
I think we should, because that movie was way more cohesive than this. Same but story.
Still not a good movie.
As you remember it.
True, but at least I remember there was a plot to that. Actually, it's the exact same movie we just saw. Johnny Mnemonic has the cure for the plague in his head, and he has to get it to these doctors. But bad guys want to kill him and use that cure for their own devices. So it's a whole movie of him trying to get to the good guys.
So it's a combination of this and Conan the Barbarian.
Well, Johnny Mnemonic or this movie?
This movie. It's
a
combination of the
two. If you took the dialogue from Conan with some themes from Conan and a lot of flexing and added in like Johnny Mnemonic but stripped it of all the, you know, salient plot points and jammed them together,
Right on.
Yeah, this is 100%.
So no, this doesn't hold up.
No.
Not at all.
It was painful to watch because they would say something and the ADR was so bad, you'd be like, what did they say?
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing is it wasn't like offensive. It's painful because I remember thinking it was cool.
Well, I can see like to be fair,
regret.
It is.
It's like in my younger self, like I look at my younger me and say,
you did think this was cool.
I know. So, I'm disappointed in myself.
But again, it's cool in the same way like we used to like G.I. Joe the cartoon. Like the character, like the costumes Giles, were cool.
I did not say that.
The weapons were cool. Well, G.I. Joe the cartoon, a lot of those were terrible. But this was cool costumes, cool guys, like... Like, if you're 8'6", like, this would be cool. Like, well, this looks cool. It's visually cool.
I almost want to see an animated version of this rebooted with the set pieces.
Well, like, they almost had scenes like an anime. They had two guys pull out knives and run screaming at each other to do a standoff. Never mind the guns they had or the bows and arrows. No, no, no. We're going to solve this knives.
Hey, I've got a bow and arrow, and I'm going to shoot a warning shot at you, and then I'm going to throw my bow and arrow away. Because
also, I've lost my shirt about 10 miles back.
Well, the plot is so simple. It's just like
the storytelling. The chasing across the swamps of Hoboken, New Jersey, or something. Like when that long drawn out, like running through the swamp, which had some cool camera shots in there, like a few, but just like this, how they were trying to montage it, because there's literally no dialogue in this movie. There's like, move, I'll be a god.
And they could have done anything they wanted. They just had to go from New York to Atlanta and do cool stuff along the way.
Fumbled it.
I feel like the way to watch this movie, if you really feel you must, is go ahead, put it on, sit down with some friends, and then all of you just make up the story, like mute it, and just make up the story as you go. Because whatever you come up with is going to be infinitely better than what they did.
I actually almost want to do that as a drinking game.
Yeah, you could mute it and put on some Judas Priest, the whole album, just let it play.
That big flow.
Have a great time.
It lines up with Dark Side of the Moon.
In reverse.
Yeah.
Ugh, woof.
Would you guys see this movie rebooted in some way?
Again, though, like my hard part is like, but what is there to reboot? There's a cyborg we see for all of 4 minutes.
Well, reboot, if I were going to call this movie Cyborg and reboot it, I would definitely make the cyborg a much more central character.
This would be like if you went to a restaurant and you saw like,
the cool. Cocaine bear don't care about that
filet
shit.
Filet mignon cocaine with a side of french fries. That sounds yummy. And then served you like 8 pounds of french fries in a little teeny tiny slice of steak. You'd be like, well, what the shit is this? That'd be $45.
And you'd pay it. And not be happy with it.
No, sorry, we're not.
I don't think it's begging to be rebooted. I mean,
it's begging on a lot of things.
I just don't know how. Like, there's just, as I said, like, Johnny Mnemonic did the same movie, but better. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, yeah, Johnny Mnemonic is going to be better.
Challenge, so, okay, I'm going to reserve judgment on that.
We'll find out.
We are going to find out.
I am judging my 14-year-old self so bad right now.
So I guess if we were to try to answer this question, if we were to reboot it, how about instead of like a reboot, how would you have fixed this? What is like the like one thing that you would add? And it can't be like better script. Be like, what would like the plot be, or what would you have changed to make this better?
I would have turned this into a TV series.
Okay, I could see that.
I would have changed it because now it becomes a side quest thing getting from New York to Atlanta, and you can actually spend 30 minutes telling each part of it, and you can have...
Like an actual, a long story
and,
in real time.
And dialogue, and not Jean-Claude Van Damme, and everything else being different.
I kind of like
the
that.
The Mandalorian.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there.
Turn it into Star Wars.
Turn it into Star Wars. But that is a good idea. Like, if you had this as literally him walking, you know, to escort this cyborg or to try to recover this cyborg and get revenge, like,
and
give
it kind
of
becomes a little bit of...
It almost sounds like Kung Fu.
I was just going to say that, hey, David Carradine. All right. I was just going to say...
You know,
I was just like, it sounds like, and I was just going to say Kung Fu.
I'm in your head, man.
Usually.
True. All right, you know what? I do like that idea. I think that would be a great way to fix it. Okay, I accept your answer, Pete. Neil.
That's been a while.
I don't know why I get to be judged, but...
I know, you're judged today. I like this.
I mean, I think if they would have had more, like, of an amazing race angle where you just have to, like, see who can get there first, do really cool stuff along the way.
Oh, that kind of race.
Yeah, instead of just snapping your fingers and, like, miracling yourself from New York to Atlanta while you're just having random fight scenes along the way.
That's true. They did that just
could be kind of hand
wave, like, in the last 10 minutes of the movie, the fact that he was in Hoboken, super injured, arrives in Atlanta, healed and shirtless.
Well, and it had to have been like 8 months later.
As you said, like, it had, like, just
it walking. Had to be.
The timeline was very disorienting. I think if they actually had a very clear timeline and it made it sort of exciting to see who'd get there and how they got there and if they could stop each other, and I mean, it could be.
And
could be cool.
Like, they could have done so many different types of POIs through there as well. It's like, as you're going south, maybe they ended up in, like, the Smoky Mountains or something like that, trying to get south, and there's, like, cliffs and waterfalls, and, like, it doesn't have to just be desolate, you know, structures.
And I would 100% shit can all of the flashbacks.
Oh, all God. That's that a mark jarringly of all stopped his everything.
Movies, though. Like, Bloodsport had it. Kickboxer had it. Like, basically every JCVD movie, he tells the story through these flashbacks. Mm. And it's so annoying.
These added nothing. Absolutely nothing.
It just, it made things very confusing and muddled. It
made me think about, well, Paul.
So, that is true. Like, just tightening up everything. But I was kind of liking, I like the idea of, like, showing more of that. But what if instead of him having to track down this bad guy, I'd have it where he meets this, like, he's hired, or, like, gets hired by the cyborg to escort her to Atlanta. The whole time they're being hunted by Fender, and Jean-Claude Van Damme is desperately trying to just run away and keep away because he remembers the last time they met when he murdered him.
Yeah.
And so and or make just it, or change just, the dynamic. Okay.
Just make Jean-Claude Van Damme the cyborg.
And he has I mean, which we all thought it was.
Which we all thought it was.
I thought he was going to be the cyborg.
Why don't you just make him the cyborg? Get rid of the cyborg who serves literally no purpose, and he has to either use his wits to outsmart Fenton to hitch a ride there, or, like, break away. Like, there's so many different ways that he could tell that story.
Like, what if they had it where he is killed by Fender? Like, they get his body and they use him, like Johnny Mnemonic, and be like, we made you the cyborg.
And then you can even have a flashback from the cyborg from RoboCop it.
Right. Right. And then, like, you know, now he's doing progress, but, like, there's this, like, okay, so already we have now workshopped three possible
ways.
What
happens when your
this
podcast
movie
is sponsored by Cocaine Bear?
Cocaine Bear is going to be out in theaters pretty soon.
And bringing you mounds of cocaine.
That has helped a lot. That's how we got so creative. Everything's better
with
cocaine.
We just turned ourselves into a 1980s pitch room for a movie. The only thing that would make this better is that it was in space.
I now feel badly because we also took that slight sponsorship from Dare. I feel like we're now at odds with ourselves.
I think we've chosen sides here.
Well, one provided us cocaine.
Yeah, and the American Academy of Pediatrics supports this podcast.
Everyone supports this podcast. All right, so we fixed Cyborg. You're welcome, Hollywood. Our phone lines are wide open for you to call us for
and
consultation.
Why wouldn't you just make Jean-Claude Van Damme the fucking cyborg?
What so, if they were and he was like, I cannot be the cyborg. That's... I'm too human.
No, he's a method actor, so he would have to become a cyborg.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, I have spent many, many months studying computers. Beep-bop-boop-beep-boop.
Was he Russian now?
That's the best I could do. He spoke so little, I can't mimic it. It's just a lot of screaming.
It's he just, yeah.
Like Taco Bell level screams.
So, I'm actually interested in this, the last question. Because I know, you guys know my answer to this.
Well, and I'll continue right now. My answer is no. I have no desire to rewatch this. I don't think my kids need to see it. I can point to other movies. I could just tell them about the movies we just came up with. That would be better than this movie. Like, I do not think they need to spend 87 minutes of their lives with this movie.
I agree that they do not need to spend 87 minutes of their life with this movie.
Oh, no. I feel, Pete, that you are perpetuating a cycle of young people watching this movie and loving it and coming back later in life and realizing that they were real dumb when they were younger.
I also agree with your statement, Neil, that I had this very visceral experience of hearing my children narrate their stupid play game all day of And then I turn around and I look at you and I charge at you with a kick. And then, no. And then you miss me, though. And I take my knife out of my pocket and I throw it at you. But it misses you and you catch it and then throw it back at me. And then I block it away. And then I kick you in the face. And then and it just kept doing that over and over. And I think my kids would love this movie right now. It would make all the sense to them. It would be perfect for their 9 and 7 year old brains right now.
I'll make you a deal, Pete. If you show it to your kids and they both love it and you tell me that it happened, I will have my kids watch
Pixar
it.
Pixar didn't happen.
And then I'll tell you what happens.
Nope.
I think your daughter will love this movie.
She would be pissed that the cyborg wasn't cooler.
That is true. Everyone would be like, wait a minute, why is it called... They would all ask, why is it called cyborg?
I still don't know how, like, there are all, so many, like, you know, it could have been, you know, Apocalypse Revenge. It could have been, you know...
Why did he just stuff his feelings inside?
Could have been called Slinger. Slinger would have been a much better, because at least it's about a slinger.
Yeah.
Nope. Slinger's Journey.
You know, you could have made this movie about anyone. You could have made the movie about Fenton. Would have been a better movie. About Haley would have been a better movie. About the cyborg, it would have been a better movie.
I feel like with the cyborg, it would have been a lot of her just like walking and deeply sighing all the time.
Would have been a better movie. Because all we had was Jean-Claude Van Damme sighing and looking and sighing and looking and saying one word.
I feel like even if she finds a cure for the plague, the world is still kind of fucked. I think the plague is not really the biggest problem anymore.
Well, that's a great point. Like, with this movie, it's the apocalypse. The world is terrible, but everything we saw was very lush-looking, like lush forests, jungle, clean sky.
One person with the plague in the whole
movie. Yeah, we did.
Yeah. They're like, oh, the plague's ravaging everywhere.
They weren't worried about it at all.
No one was worried about the plague. It was like, honestly, Hannaford on a Sunday afternoon.
Yes. You want to know about plagues? We'll tell you about plagues.
You don't even know. Yeah, like I don't like that was something I had a hard time with too. Is that the world building was? I don't understand. Like they show right off the beginning, they show what like looks like your classic. You know, there's like rusted metal and garbage everywhere, and like everyone's looking grungy. But why? Like it seems as though like there's
I think they did an exposition.
They did. The first, but they said like
in the future. In the future,
yeah, like bad stuff happened, and there's a plague.
And we had that picture of like a cockroach walking across in the
They made it seem as though everything was shit, but everything looked pretty decent. Like I don't understand why everyone was so dirty because water was available everywhere.
Well, I would say it doesn't look like there was any electricity or any power grid.
That's true. There was a lot of burning fires.
No plumbing, so this could be in like the cities are still on fire. But that's what I mean.
If you cure the plague, the city's still on fire.
Yeah. Eventually that ends. But like
more systemic problems is what
that's
saying.
My point is like we see cities
No one's road paving right now. There are potholes everywhere.
But there's like it's the sky seems clear. We saw plenty of vegetation in green. Maybe all the vegetation's infected with plague, Brian. But then you have to explain
because
that. Like
reasons.
You can't tell me like they're you know. We have to find resources, if only as like they're literally hanging out in like
lush paradise.
Yeah, this place is so cruel.
Pass me another coconut.
The world seemed like it was pretty happy that people were receding into the past.
Yeah, you know, like there's farming. Like that's
nature
what they
finds
were doing.
A way.
Yeah,
it's just so I was very confused about the whole like what are the rules of this world because they're all eating from dented cans, but you know. There are no farmers? Maybe people got out of can.
Maybe the plague only affects farmers.
Okay, but I mean...
And farms.
I would like to think that even if humanity was brought to the brink...
Listen, I'm bringing the level of analysis to this movie that this movie brought.
Okay, so quick time. How many people here at the table are farmers? Raise your hand. Hold them high. Let me do a quick count. Okay. We have no farmers at the table. How many people here could probably figure out how to farm?
I've grown some stuff in my yard.
Yeah, we've all grown shit, man. Like, but I mean, we have a garden. Like, I can, like, it's not hard. It's, you know, it's not my forte, but if it's like, well, things have been really bad. I guess it's time to start a real garden. Like, I just don't understand what is the drive, what is the motivation for everybody?
Well, obviously, the plot holes in this make Swiss cheese look pretty darn tight. The future is bad, I think, is like what you take it at, which is why this movie was made for 7-year-olds.
Yeah.
In the future, things are bad and nothing works, and yet we are still awesome. And
well, you're right, because the 7 will look at it and be like, yeah, they don't have any
they
money.
They don't have anything.
And they're dirty. And like, they're having to, like, things, there's rust everywhere. Yeah. And, like, they're just sharpening knives. Like, they don't even have Nintendos. They just have knives to sharpen.
Like, yeah, like, everyone's Nintendo Switch just broke. Nothing works anymore, and the internet isn't here. And I actually think you could do a reboot of this, right?
My point is, I like the ways we came up to fix it.
In terms of they left a lot of things out that would have been cool.
Yes,
yes.
Well, I think it would have
very
been,
simply a lot of things were left out of this movie.
It like, would have been cool
something if, that would have made this movie good
if they yeah. went way to the end of just like straight up like toxic Avenger levels goofiness and just
well,
over
yeah.
the top. That would have at least been a choice.
Yeah, they didn't need to explain why it happened, but I was just thinking like if we're gonna stress the cyborg angle, like what the hell is she really gonna do?
Probably let the world burn from what she's seen.
Close
nope. That. Well, I would have been really funny at the end of the movie. She just like just takes out a cigarette, takes a long drag, and just goes, nope.
Honestly, though, I would like that the movie is a lot more self-aware, that the scientists are like, yeah, stupid freaking robot. The robot has this like important sense of like self-importance and goes and like, I'm here to cure the world. Like, no. That's just like dirty people over, you know, just like the apocalyptic people that are just, yeah. no, come with me. We're going to take
90% of the world lives behind this wall. We're all just wondering what those crazy people are out there doing anyway. That would have actually been a great twist if at the end it turns out that everyone's living in paradise and this is just like the dirty, like crazy people who yeah. took LARPing way too seriously.
LARPing too seriously?
What the hell happened over here? It's like Lord of the Flies.
Like, put your Bafo swords down.
Yeah. Well, for all the shittiness, it was fun to watch and it was fun to point and laugh.
That was fun.
And
I had a good time tonight.
This was great. This is great.
It was harmless.
But next week, we're going to do Johnny Mnemonic.
Johnny Mnemonic. We're okay. going to see about if Keanu Reeves' level of acting can top Van Damme.
Whoa. Morpheus.
Somebody order pizza? That is a line from the movie. Cocaine Bear!
Send us an email, dadsmovienight@gmail.com, and let's keep it short and sweet. That was actually a lot of fun.
Remember, Cocaine Bear, coming out February 2023.
Cocaine Bear. Do-do-do-do-do-do.